Parshas Tetzave. The beginning of the parsha, the Torah describes and completes the mitzvah of the menorah. V'atah tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael v'ikhu elecha shemen zayis zach kasis lamor lahalos ner tamid. A special type of oil is used when it comes to the kindling of the menorah, which is shemen zayis zach, olive oil, the purest, like Rashi points out, the first drop, the purest drop of oil from the olive, that's what's used for the menorah. The Medrash, opening line of the Medrash in the sixth parasha, comments the following. Amazing Medrash. Says the Medrash, V'atot tzaveh, and you should command the Israel, Hadahu dichsiv. This is reflected in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Zayis ra'anan, the plushest, the luscious olive, yifei pri toar, the beautiful fruit, kara Hashem shemech, God called you Bnei Yisrael. And the Medrash asks, v'chilo nikru Yisrael b'zayis hazeh bilvad. What? The only type of fruit that the Jews are called by is a zayis. V'alo b'chol minei ilanos noim m'shabachem nikru Yisrael. The Jews are called by various different fruits and trees. Big Geffen, Ute'ena, the Medrash goes on to bring Psukim for both of these. Kitamar, Tzadik Atamar Yifrach, Ke'erez Baloni Yisker, Ke'erez, Ke'egos, like nuts. Doesn't mean that we're nuts, it just means that we're compared to nuts sometimes. And Rimonim, whole thing. And Yirmiyahu Anavi comes and says, Zayis Ra'anan Yafei Pri Tovar. What is the Pshat that we're compared to a Zayis, particularly Abosai? Zok de Medrash. Let's look at an olive. While it's even on the tree, the gargarin also, we bang it around. The acharkach moridin also on a zayis. You take it off the tree, even nechbat, and it gets smashed. Umishachovdin also malin also lagat. Then you, after you smash it, you bring it onto the gat, the press. Vinosin also b'matche, and you grind it, and then you grind it again. And then you surround it with chavon, with ropes. You bring stones. And then, only then, after all of this, does the olive come out, does the oil come out. Kach Yisrael, so too B'nai Yisrael. We can be battled around as a nation, from place to place. The choftin osa b'kolar, we can be locked up in chains. U'makifin osan tuatiotin. We can be surrounded with hooligans, bullies, v'acharkach osin tshuva, v'akadosh baruch hu oneh lahem. And we'll do tshuva, and Hashem will respond to us. Says the Medrash, that is the reason why we're compared to a zayis. Of all trees, there's so many trees it could have been. What's special about a zayis? Says the Medrash, because the zayis goes through this tremendous process before the zayis becomes a zayis. The zayis, the oil does not just happen by itself. It's a process. It's banged around and beaten around. Even while it's on a tree, it's beaten around and thrown around and stepped on and smashed and until the oil comes out. That's what the Medrash says is the idea behind the Shemen Zayis particularly. Abosai, there is a beautiful pshat, a beautiful insight from the Stipler in a sefer called Birchas Peretz. A beautiful insight in Parshas Lech Lecha, which definitely complements this idea that we're trying to suggest. What's the idea, Rabbi Osai? The idea that I want to focus on today a little bit is the effort that's involved, the process that's involved. It's not only about a finished product. It's not only about the shemen zayis. It's about the zayis. It's not only about the shemen that comes out of it, but it's about the process and the effort and the toiling and the working and everything that went in to getting to the zayis as well. And the Stipler Gaon in Parashas Lech Lecha on the famous Rashi, when Rashi says, quoting the Medrash, Hashem says to Avram, Lech Lecha, Me'aretzcha, U'moladetcha, El Haaretz Asher Eka, Chazal say in the Medrash, and why didn't Hashem tell Avram right away where he was going to go? Says the Medrash, Kedei Lechaviva Be'enav, to make it precious in his eyes. And a second reason, v'litein lo sachar al kol psiyo psiya, and to give him reward for each and every step. Says the Stipler the following beautiful insight into this Medrash. What exactly is the Medrash telling us? By telling us that the reason why the Torah didn't tell Avram where he was going to go right away is to make it more precious to him. And says this Taibu, we can learn from this the following thing. That what's precious to a person is what he searches for, and what he yearns for, and what he wants to get. And the Torah didn't tell Avram, you're going to Eretz Yisrael. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avram to yearn for it. Because when you yearn for something, and you work at something, and you try your best at something, and then you get that something, you appreciate it so much more. And that is exactly what the Medrash is telling us over here in Parashat Lech Lecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't show Avram right away where he was to go. As if to say, Avram, go to Eretz Yisrael, because Hashem wanted to teach us all this lesson through Avram Avinu, which was that that which is precious to a person is that which he searches for. And that the process is equally as important sometimes as the result. And sometimes the result isn't even the way you get it, the way you want it. Avram in his lifetime, fellas, had so many failures, so many letdowns. I mentioned that thing in the past one time. Avram Avinu, he tried to save Sodom, they get destroyed. He tries to slaughter his son, they get destroyed. What a Nebuch. You call Avram the biggest Nebuch in the history of history. But the answer is, fellas, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, it's not about necessarily the result and the bottom line. It's about the process. It's the zayis. It's the process that we go through which makes us appreciate that which we have. There was a maisa that I read last night. Rav Baruch Ber, Leibowitz. The Birkas Shmuel, we've quoted in Shir in the past. The Birkas Shmuel was once, and this could have been about any gadol, was once found in his living room. And Talmid came in to knock him to ask him a question. They peeked through and they see him dancing around the table. They were a little bit surprised. Anybody that knew of Baruch Ber, he wasn't exactly, he was a very, very focused, brisker person. Dancing around the table wasn't exactly his every Monday and Tuesday shtick. What was going on? And they inquired. They said, Rebbe, what's happened? He said, I'll tell you the truth. We've been struggling on a Rashba for the past couple of days. We couldn't make heads and tails out of it. What was the Rashba talking about? What does he mean? What's this about? How does it all flow together? How does it make sense in the Rashba? What's it all about? And finally we came to Pshat. And we were so excited, not so much about the Pshat, but about the feeling of excitement and elation that we had after working so hard on a piece of Torah that it just broke out naturally into a dance. We danced around the table to appreciate not only the result, fellas, but sometimes equally as important, the process as well. Before we bring this home to Purim in a minute or two, I just want to share with you an amazing, amazing story I saw last night. An amazing maisa. I saw it in the Sefer of Spiro. I'm a big fan of his books. A Touch of Warmth is called this one. It's one of the more recent books that he put out. A fantastic story. Listen up. Listen to the genius of our great teachers in the previous generation. There was a bar mitzvah boy whose father gets up to speak at the bar mitzvah. And he starts talking how proud and happy he is. And he has a story that he wants to share with everybody else. That they should just listen to and try to appreciate about listen carefully. He said, a long time ago, there was a boy in Cheder whose name was Nachum. And Nachum was very bright and very gifted. And his parents were all excited. He was going to be a great person to contribute to Klal Yisrael. And what happens? He's a regular kid in school in Cheder. And nothing great is happening from this Nachum kid. Nothing's happening. And the parents are trying this, and they're trying that, and they're trying this tutor and that tutor, whatever. It's just not flying. It's just not going. Finally, they decide they're going to have Nachum go to the Av Beis Din, the Rav of that community. Maybe he'll give him a little chizuk. If he goes to this Rav, maybe he'll have a good hashpa on him. So he walks into the Rav, whose name I wrote the book to show. The Rav's name was Rav Naftali Gansworth. He walks into the office and he gives Nachum a big warm shalom aleichem. Ah. And before Nachum can even begin to talk, he says, Nachum, thanks for coming. I want you to help me out to figure out the following Din Torah. Now this little boy of around 10, 11 years old is startled. The Rav of the town wants me to help him figure out a Din Torah. He says, listen, let me explain. I want you to help me paskin the following Shaila, but you have to hear what the litigants are. The two Bali Din and the litigants are a Sefer Torah and a Shu. Sefer Torah and a Shu. Now this Nachum kid is looking at it like, Rabbi, what are you talking about? This is Purim? This is Purim? He goes on, let me explain. He said, the shoe begins to speak first. I've been treated unfairly, he says. I was on a farm a year ago, grazing like every other cow, and all of a sudden, one day, someone comes over to me, doesn't give me too much notice, too much warning. They say that he makes shoes. He needs me for the skin, for the leather, for the shoes. They take me away, and I'm made into a shoe. And everyone's stepping on me now. And everyone's just treating me like I'm a piece of dirt, and like I smell. I don't even sleep in the same room as my owner, because he says I smell at night. It's not fair. That's the shoes comment. Sefer Torah. What's the Sefer Torah? Sefer Torah, my friend, my cat right next to me, he would turn into a Sefer Torah. Everyone honors him. He's held in such reverence. They stand up for him. They kiss him. When they finish reading him, they bring him back to the Aron Kodesh. A plush, beautiful location. It's not fair. It's not fair, says the shoe to the Dayan. The Dayan turns to Nachum and says, Nachum, who's right? Tell me who's right. Is the shoe right? Does he have a case? Or is the Sefer Torah right? Says Reb Nachum, I don't know, it sounds to me like the shoe's right. He's got a good taina. What do you want from him? Says the Rav, but let me explain to you, you're missing one point. He said, the shoe, the cow that was made into a shoe, what happened? So not too much effort went into making the shoe. They took the skin, they carved it, they shaped it, and there was a shoe that was ready to be made. And how about the Sefer Torah? Well, the skin had to be cut off, had to be worked on, then it was made into parchment, then it was sirta, there were lines on the parchment, and then the sofer wrote for years and years to write the Sefer Torah. Doesn't it make sense, said the Rav to Nachum, that the Sefer Torah gets the honor it does, and the shoe gets the honor that it does? The Sefer Torah had so much effort, so much work was put into it, so many hours, so much kedusha was put over it. The Sefer Torah gets what it gets, as opposed to the shoe. What happened to the shoe? The shoe was just made into a shoe. It was carved out into a certain foot and shaped and molded and made into a shoe. The story ends in a cute little way. Reb Nachum, this Nachum boy, didn't have to say another word. He understood the message right away. If a person wants to be treated like a shoe and stepped on, not too much effort is required. If a person wants to be revered and honored, much effort is needed to get to that stage. He left the room. And then he was a little shaken at the bar mitzvah. The grandfather that was speaking at the bar mitzvah was this Nachum boy. And the words of this Rav made such an impression on him that so many years later, the impression was still fresh in his mind. Rabosai, very important message. Zayas, what's a Zayas? A Zayas is pushed around, and there's a process that goes on. Purim has so many messages and so many themes. One of the themes of Purim, though, is the new bris, the new covenant, the new relationship that's forged with HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bnei Yisrael on Torah Shebal Peh. We discussed it already in the past. A few days ago we discussed it already. Hadar Kiblu B'mei HaShverosh. There was a new Kabbalah HaTorah on Torah Shebal Peh that took place in Purim. That's what we believe. The Kibel HaYehudim Ki Yishecha B'Lev Echad. There was a new Kabbalah HaTorah. The Kabbalah HaTorah, Torah Shebal Peh. What's unique about Torah Shebal Peh, as we all know, thank God, from struggling through it over the past couple of months, is that it requires struggle. A lot of struggle. A lot of effort. Sometimes we could struggle on a piece. We could learn a whatever the piece is, or a Chaim. We could learn a Ramban. We could struggle, break our teeth, and sometimes not even get to the right Pshat of the Ramban. We walk into Shir and hear a Pshat of the Ramban, and that's what Ramban said. He doesn't say that. It's something else entirely. And where's all my effort? And the answer is, when it comes to Torah, fellows, we all know that it's not about the final result. The bracha we make on Torah in the morning is Lasok with the Torah, to toil in Torah. If we get the Pshat, it's great. If we don't get the Pshat, every minute that we spent, every effort that we put into it, is meaningful. And when we have a new Kabbalah HaTorah of Purim every year, the Kabbalah HaTorah of Torah Shabbat Peh, we have to understand that Torah Shabbat Peh is so unique, and that effort is essential. And every bit of effort that we put in, every little more step, whatever it is, I'm gonna come 5 minutes early to say there. I'm gonna stay 5 minutes after. I'm gonna chazer over the shir. I'm gonna chazer over the Ramban. I missed this point in shir. I'm gonna go get it. I missed this point in whatever effort that we exert, fellas, is meaningful, and the effort is what matters. That's what we're compared to a zayis. Zayis ran on your Yafei Pi Torah. There's so many things that we could have been compared to, but now we're talking about the menorah, and the menorah represents Torah. And the menorah needs Shemen Zayas. Why Zayas? Because when it comes to the menorah, when it comes to Torah, fellas, it's about the effort. It's about what I put into it. It's about the process. It's about trying our best and putting in the effort. We should all be Zocha. That's Hashem. To have a new Kabbalah Torah on Purim. A Kabbalah Torah that appreciates the effort, the Zayas. And we should be Zocha to put in whatever effort we can and to become really Bali Bris. Real people that are involved with the covenant of the Torah Shebaal Peh. A beautiful Shabbos, fellas, and a Freilich and Purim.